The upcoming presentation is a two-man power trip of wrestling podcast production.
Taking to school with Dr. Tom Pritchard. I'm your host, JP John Paz. Of course, joining me, star of the show, the former eight-time Smoky Mountain Wrestling Tag Team Champion, former WWE World Tag Team Champion, one of the greatest trainers ever in the history of the business, the Doctor of Desire himself, Dr. Tom Pritchard. Dr. Tom, how are you doing today, sir?
John, I'm doing great today.
Oh, that's it. Oh, okay. Nice.
That's all I got. That's all I got for you tonight. Yeah, I'm pretty to the point. Pretty to the point tonight.
What's up with JPWA? What's the latest? What's going on?
We had a great promo night tonight. And some classes, well, every class is different, obviously. But these guys are in their seventh week. They've been working hard. And so it's going pretty good. Our fall session is coming up in October. And that's about all that's really going on. We've been busy the last couple of weeks.
Ibsen. Hello, Ibsen.
Ibsen is always the first one to say hello.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Good old Ibsen. Nice.
Awesome.
Now, today, we'll just want to get right into it.
Sure.
Before we talk about any current stuff, I wanted to talk a little old school. I wanted to talk about the Gigolo himself, Jimmy Del Rey. Love this guy. I was just talking to you a little bit. I love when he was in WCW just randomly as Jimmy Graffiti. I liked him as Jimmy Backlund. I mean, this guy is everywhere, pretty much. Before we get Matty R. What's up, Matty R? Yes.
Yeah, we're doing good. At least I'm doing good.
Mike G. And Rico. Oh, Wampus.
Puerto Rico.
Rorico.
Very nice.
Rorico from Puerto Rico. Nice.
Yes.
But when did you first meet Jimmy Backlund?
I met Jimmy when he first came through Alabama, Continental Wrestling. He was traveling, either going somewhere or coming back from somewhere. And he was there for like a week. And really good guy. hell of a worker. You could tell that right off the bat. So, yeah, it was late, mid-80s maybe, first time.
What did you think of him just, like, personality-wise? Did you just like, this guy's a little wacky?
Well, I mean, that's the pot calling kettle black, so, I mean, I get all that. But no, Jimmy was all right. Jimmy was good. He just I've said this before, he was one of those guys, when we would walk in somewhere, he wanted everybody to know we were there. I like just going in and kind of seeing what's going on, but he was a great guy. He just he loved doing, having a good time and doing his thing too, and so did I.
Why is that though? Why does he want everybody to know he's there? Like what's
I think I don't know if it's just him having fun and being that way, and I think that's where you need to be anyway if you're going to be an entertainer, and Jimmy was definitely an entertainer. What I mean by saying letting everybody know we're there, it was just my personality and his personality, and we got along fine. It was wonderful, but it came down to we would go to the ring, man, and it was great work, and we knew what we were doing, and then he would go back and he would do his thing, I'd do mine. So, but that, again, that's a lot on me, just being, having that kind of personality. Sometimes you work great in the ring, and then you go back and go your separate ways. But that doesn't always make a great tag team. Most tag teams, like the Freebirds, Sean and Marty, yeah, and Sean and Diesel, Kevin Nash, all those guys, if you get along together backstage, it's going to translate on stage too. So, But we, I think everybody was wacky back then. So, but I just, it, everybody has their own personality too. And that was just the way I was feeling at that time.
Hello, Jason, and hello, Barbara. There's a couple of good non-Jimmy Del Rey questions that I'll get to at the end. There's one question here from this guy, Andrew. I don't know if he's kidding or not, but I'll ask it later. Maybe I'll save it for last.
Awesome.
I love the question, but we'll get to it after Jimmy Del Rey. It's a weird one, but I like it. First, though, Ibsen's got a question for you. Was it you, Del Rey, or Cornette that wanted you to work for the WWF?
Well, it was everybody. I mean, it was it started out at the beginning of the summer, I think it was. So I'm not sure where it all fit in, but I do know we came in for a Super Brawl 3 with WCW first, and then it was shortly after that that we got the opportunity to go to WWF. But the way that came about was my dad came to visit and in Knoxville, and he went on the road with me, and Bruce wanted to pull a rib and have him cut this promo with my dad, and Jimmy wanted to set it up and thought it'd be funny. Well, we double-crossed him, and you know, we had my dad say something completely different than he thought, and Bruce put the tape in up in Stamford, and some people saw it, and they saw Cornette, and Mr. Fuji needed an American spokesman, and made perfect sense. It was the right time for Jim to be up there, and it fit in great. And it was an opportunity for all Smoky Mountain too. And he knew we were the team, so they gave us a match at SummerSlam. And so all three of us, I think, were at that point, especially in Smoky Mountain, realizing that this could be a great opportunity for everybody, not just us.
Hello from the UK, Mr. G.
Mr. G? I hope everything's wonderful in the UK.
Richie Ray, this is Dr. Tom. Richie Ray, great name.
Great name.
Walt Biscuits, theoretical question. Do you think you and Marty Jannetty, and he spells it correctly in the next post, but do you think Marty Jannetty would have made a great tag team instead of you, maybe, and Jimmy Del Rey?
You mean for the Heavenly Bodies? I don't know. Possibly. Marty was a hell of a worker, too.
I feel like you and Marty would have a good chemistry just outside of the ring, like partying and stuff. You know what I mean?
Well, I don't know if it's the partying necessarily, but I think it is the attitude. And so you never know.
Man, I don't know if it was an old post or not, but he made some joke about like fellatio or something with like a guy. And he was saying
what?
That, yeah, really weird joke, and that he beat the guy in the head, and he's like, oh, I should have let it finish first before I beat the hell out of him. I was like, oh, my God.
Like, well, what are you implying? Yeah, what exactly are you saying here? You lost me right there when you said fellatio, and I said, wait, hold on, can't we? Yeah.
So. Jannetty is, I don't know, sometimes if you read his post, remember he posted that he killed somebody, and then he took it back, and the bowling alley, and the river, and like, man, you just never know where he's coming from, some of that
stuff. Yeah. Yeah, Ted Bundy just said, it's just a promo, please. I was only ribbing.
Yeah.
I don't think so. So, got to be careful these days. Hell, you had to be careful those days.
Whose idea was it when you guys were feuding with the Smoking Guns that you destroy their cowboy hats on an edition of Superstars?
I think that was purely my idea. I came up with it the night before in a call, and we had a diagram.
Like a Bruce idea, though.
There's a lot of Bruce ideas that, I don't really know. Definitely I wish I could tell you a really good story, but I won't really tell you. I mean, I'd be lying through my teeth if I told you I knew who came up with that. So I could actually tell you it was Pat. Yeah, Pat came up with that.
Womp says Jannetty makes for a great interview, no doubt about it. And
he does
great impressions, too.
Yeah.
Like his Harley Race, his Piper, his Savage. I mean, he does dead-on impersonations.
Yeah. And again, I think that's what he should be doing. Have it where people want to listen to his interviews and listen to what he has to say.
Matty R., where did Jimmy Del Rey learn his little dance moves? I'm very curious on that, too.
I'm not sure where he learned it, but he had it, and he wasn't afraid to break it out, as you saw. So, yeah, he had the rhythm. He had the rhythm in him, yes.
did you guys think it was funny that he was doing the dance moves, or was it good for Heat, like Heat getting?
Oh, I thought it was great for Heat. I really did. I thought it was great when he did it. I couldn't dance. Stan could dance. Stan could sing, but Jimmy, he's the only guy that could have pulled that off. On our team, anyway. I'll tell you that. I don't think Jimmy would have danced, and I sure can't dance. So, you know, he came in, and he had that one tooth missing, and a lot of people didn't know how he was going to replace Stan. And I got along great with Stan. I'm going to put the onus on me, because I'm not the easiest person to get along with, I guess. Or the easiest person to be around. So, but when I was with Stan, he kind of got that too. He was a little more low key. But Jimmy came in just blazing. And he had that one tooth. And Ricky Morton said, "Hey, Tooth," you know, and had that red hair and freckles and stuff. And then he got in the ring and just killed it. So everybody was cool with that. Found out it was a different flavor than what we already put out there. So he came off the top rope. He liked doing that stuff. He could do the moonsault. So I thought he added a hell of a lot to that.
Yeah, and that dance is just so freaking funny. Yeah. It's like he shouldn't be doing it. He doesn't look like he should be doing it, but it works, and the crowd just hated it.
That's why. And he knew, and that was great. Yeah, he came up with it somewhere, someplace, and he found the place to put it out there and use it.
Were you worried when Stan said he was quitting? Like, you're like, oh, shit, what am I going to do now? He's somewhere heavenly body.
Oh, yeah. We didn't. There was nobody out there to get. There was nobody available that we knew of that would fit. And Kevin Sullivan recommended Jimmy Del Rey. So he'd been down in Tampa and a hell of a worker. So he came up, and he was. So, but I thought for a minute, well, yeah, we're going to do one or two things. So the other ones go somewhere else.
Philly, good evening, JP and Doc. He loves MJ. Nice. He loves some Marty Jannetty.
That's very good.
Richie Ray just recently purchased some Continental Wrestling DVDs and was truly amazed at Dr. Tom's work back then. Hell of a workhorse. Heck of a workhorse, I guess.
Well, you can use hell. Thank you, Richie.
Thank you, Richie, yes. Hey, Bo, the King of Kingsport. How much interaction did Jimmy Backlund, Del Rey have when he was coming up during Continental TV?
He was there a week. So I saw him in the locker room that week.
Wow.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, but... You know, that was where you got to meet people back then, too. So he came up, and again, it was either going somewhere or coming back from. And that was about it. So, and I didn't see him after until he came to Smoky Mountain.
To me, I can't believe, like, the chemistry you two had. Because you and Stan are good, but you and Jimmy have better chemistry in the ring. Like the tag team maneuvers, the tag team specialty. Is that something you guys work on a lot, like together, or is that just natural chemistry?
Yeah, I think it had just be natural chemistry because, see, Jim Cornette had already been there, done that in the Rock and Roll. We were working with Rock and Roll too, so it was basically the Midnight Rock and Roll matches. And it was easy to work with those guys, and it was. So that was not hard to follow, you know, and because there is a recipe to those matches, and a lot of it was, you know, fill in the blanks, but you would go out there and be able to have that chemistry with Robert and Ricky, as long as you understood what you were trying to do in the match. You know, this is what you're working for, and this is what you're doing, and it wasn't rocket surgery, trust me, it was a lot of fun, and there was there was a chemistry to it, I think. And I've said it before about Brad Armstrong. If you couldn't have a match with Brad, then you shouldn't be in the business. Same thing, if you couldn't have a tag match with the Rock and Roll Express, then you didn't need to be in the business. You didn't need to be in a tag match. That's for damn sure. Because even then, you know, and they'd already been off, they'd come off Crockett's TV, but even still, in this part of the country, Ricky and Robert were still over, and they still want to see some good Southern wrestling.
BT says Jimmy Del Rey was the man.
Yes, he was. He certainly was. On many of occasions, yeah.
Sam Herschler says Stan Lane is a Freemason. Is that true?
I have no idea. He's never mentioned it. I was going to say, you know what? There's rumors and innuendo everywhere we turn. I have no idea. We didn't talk about Freemasonry or anything like that.
So. Ibsen says nothing was said on why Del Rio was released from WWE. Why was he released? Were you shocked, mad?
No, I wasn't mad. I think it was just one of those things that it was time to move on, and we had run our course, and we were both pretty much floundering anyway, and I wasn't. We were at home, so and it was one of those things where I said, "If there's anything," and they said, "Yeah, you can dye your hair blonde and do this," and I thought, "Oh, yeah, no, I don't want to." Okay. Oh, by the way, yeah, sounds great. And I think Jimmy was just ready to go home back to Tampa and kind of chill for a little bit.
Did he not like the WWF atmosphere at that point?
No, I really don't. At that point, I don't know. But at that point, too, we'd been there less than a year, maybe a year. I don't know. But it was, I think he could probably see it, and I definitely saw it, too, that we were not really going to be figured in, and that was okay. We got it. So we came back to Smoky Mountain for a while, and then it was like, I think he was okay getting off the road going back to Tampa.
Del Rey was perfect for the role. Very memorable, says Phil. I agree.
I agree too. I certainly agree.
Now, there's some tag teams, like we've mentioned, you mentioned before, they get along outside the ring and inside the ring. You guys didn't. Did that have any effect, on you guys at all, in the ring? It didn't seem like it.
Well, it's not that we didn't. It's just that Jimmy wanted to do his thing, and I wanted to do my thing. And at that time, especially during that period, it was, I think we probably ought to be cool doing our thing this way, so we don't start hating each other, because sometimes you hang around too much. And you know what, man, whatever you want to do is fine. I don't want to cramp anybody's fun or having or style, but I don't want anybody cramping mine either. I want to do what I want to do, and especially back then, I didn't want to, I wasn't about walking in somewhere after work, going in and wanting to talk to everybody, or wanting everybody to come over, or wanting to make a scene where we can make sure that we have a target on our back. You know what I mean? It's not, it's nothing different, but hey, man, aren't you? Yeah, we wrestled tonight. We wrestled down here tonight. You know, I'd rather sit there for a minute and see what's going on. And so letting everybody know, because, oh, you wrestled tonight, huh? Well, let me write all that stuff. So that's kind of where it was at. Not a big deal. I just prefer to do it the other way.
Was Stan easier to tag with? He had great body language.
Stan was a lot of fun to tag with. I don't know if he was easier. Jimmy was a lot of fun to tag with a lot of times. We had fun in the ring. I think that was a huge part of why it worked. But Stan was... Stan had been there, done that too, and now he's having to start over again in Smoky Mountain, kind of, where we're not having the big towns, and it's doing what we going to the biggest towns we could go to, like the Knoxvilles or Johnson Cities and places like that. So we both were a lot of fun. I don't know if it was easier with one or the other. They're both great.
What was different about them in ring? It seemed like Jimmy Del Rey liked to bump more, and maybe, I don't know, it seemed like that anyway.
Well, here's the deal. I think Stan had that, would I guess it would still be described as a playboy or that the vet guy drive a vet, you know, the the smooth looking guy. Pretty boy. Thank you. That's what I'm saying. He was that, but he was also he also had a tendency to be tough too. A lot tougher than people would say or would know unless they saw him do what he does. Like have to defend somebody. You know, there was a time in don't recall the city you might where Jimmy and him got sued for hitting somebody at ringside, West Virginia, or so. It was one of those small towns when they were working for Crockett. So Stan's not afraid to mix it up, but Jimmy was more that wild Comanche go all out type guy, which I liked a lot too, because he was the guy that can go to the top and do the moonsault and be able to flip flop and fly. So that was the difference. I think Stan understood he wasn't going to get up on the top rope either. So it added something different, I guess.
All biscuits. Do you think Stan Lane would have been a good world champ if given the chance? He's been great ever since I first saw him teaming with Brian St. John. He definitely had a ton of talent.
Yeah, I think he did have a ton of talent. Being the world champion, I think it's a whole different level and element because most of those guys, always at the end of a run, they would say after about, I don't know, Terry Funk had it, what, 2 years? Jack Briscoe had it a year, 2 years too, about the same time. Dory held it for over 4 years. And then Flair kept wanting it and wanting it and wanting it. But, you know, it's a lot to take on. But Stan would have made a really a great choice to be a world champion if he wanted to be.
To me, he definitely had, like, all the ability and the talent stuff. It just, I don't know, it's like the right place at the right time. Just like Bob Backlund, WWF, was almost Steve Kern getting that title run.
And Ron Garvin getting a title run for a month or two or whatever. I mean, it why not? If you can make that happen and work towards that and actually accomplish that, why not? Because people don't understand what it takes to get that part either. It ain't just about what you do in the ring. In fact, I don't think it has a lot to do at all with what you do in the ring. I mean, it does, but at the same time, if you don't convince people you're the guy, you're not going to be the guy.
Yeah. Yep. Very true. Here's a good one for you. From Mitch Miller. Rob Van Dam says Jimmy Del Rey got him high for the first time in Puerto Rico. Can you verify this?
I can't verify, but I wouldn't be surprised. And but I also don't believe that. I believe Rob might have got high once or twice before that time. But depends when he went to Puerto Rico. I'm not sure. So I can't verify. I can't say. I can't confirm nor deny. So
Craig is an interesting question here. On your merchandise royalty checks, did you get the same percentage as a singles wrestler, or did the tag team split the cash? Interesting. Yeah, I don't know how that works.
I think we got half or whatever. Yeah, same percentage as a like a tag team split, and with Cornette too, I guess. But yeah, I think it was the standard whatever a tag team would get.
Chris, I used to love when Jimmy Del Rey would get down on one knee and point to Cornette on the ropes after Dr. Tom's intro. Yeah, you guys always had the funniest intros. Those were always great. Those were always heat magnets. You guys doing those intros?
Well, they were definitely heat magnets. stop talking heat. But yeah, that was Jim, and I think that was a good thing too. Stan did it really good because he had that DJ voice, and he would be that smooth operator the gangster love, man.
Whose idea, like, originally was to do the intros? That's Cornette?
I believe that might have been certainly Jimmy because, and it came along with Stan. Obviously, Bobby and Dennis were introduced by Jim, and once Stan came on board, I think that might have come up in the car or whatever, because Stan's got a great voice, and it gives Jimmy a chance to be introduced.
I think that McMahon, Vince McMahon, I feel like he wouldn't like those intros. I don't know why. Like, he'd
be
like,
could
be. What is this wrestling
stuff? Of course. I totally understand that. I'm sure that has a lot to do with why we didn't do it up there. Maybe a couple times.
Yeah, a few times.
Until I took him away and put him with Yokozuna.
Yep.
Prior to that.
Ibsen wants to know, were you shocked when you heard the news that Jimmy had passed all the way back in, I guess it was 2014?
Yeah, because I had just seen him in August in Charlotte at the Gathering, I think it was, whatever it was. And
NWA Fan Fest, I think it was.
Back Fan Fest. Yeah. Right, and we talked, and I said, dude, I'm sorry for being the way I was, because I can't explain why I was the way I was, but... I wish I could have been better. I should have been better. I apologize. So, and then a couple months later, he passed. So, again, things happen, and sometimes you get a chance to say, look, I wish we could have made it different, and I wish things would have happened different. But it didn't, so here we are. I hope you're doing well, and I love you, and I'm sorry. I had the chance to say that, so... What are you going to do?
What did he say?
I think he laughed and we hugged. And that's all he said. Yeah. We laughed and we hugged.
Only 52 years old, too, when he passed. He had a heart attack.
Yeah. You never know what's going to happen. And you never know when. So.
Same way Macho Man. He was driving and had a heart attack when he was driving.
Well, there's this line, and you can't cut it, and you can't go to the back. Where you are in line is where you're going to be. And you never know what day or time that's going to happen. And so I think we should all try to do better, John, and be a lot more positive for people in our lives and in the world. And there was a time when I didn't want a whole lot of people in my life. So... once again, I can't explain it, but it happens to people on a daily basis. So,
how did he look at that Fan Fest? Did he look good?
No. He didn't look good. He gained a lot of weight, and he had gotten kind of big. And he didn't look healthy. But he came there, and it was the first time in years that we signed. Jimmy was there too, Cornette. With the Smoky Mountain tag belts, and we had a nice talk, we had a nice visit, and when we ate, that's when I said I apologize for being me.
Now, your first match together, as far as teaming, 5/17/93. You guys, obviously Jimmy Del Rey and yourself, defeated the Armstrong brothers the same day in the same taping. You also beat Mike Sampson and Robbie Eagle and Bobby Blaze and Mike Sampson. So you guys start off pretty good there in May of 1993. I don't know if you remember that being your first time together. Did you notice chemistry right off the bat?
Where were these towns at? West Virginia or...
Harlan, Kentucky.
Okay. Yeah. No. Again, you have... Look, in the South, and especially Kentucky, Tennessee, the Carolinas, places like that, you have real wrestling fans, whatever, who want to go out and see that. And the Smoky Mountain fans, again, some of the greatest fans who want to cheer, want to boo, want to have fun at wrestling. And the guys on the crew still had that old school mentality. Think shoot will work, go out and don't break character, don't wink and nod. Go out and have a contest and it, as the rock and roll would be the local heroes. It was great, and Jim Cornette knew how to rile people up. So I think we felt it right off the bat. Jimmy came in ready to prove something, and he did. And I don't remember those exact matches, but I do remember right off the bat that it worked in the ring.
like, damn, Sullivan, you hit the nail on the head here. Like, you're right. Del Rey would be a great heavenly body. Like,
well, I didn't say that to Kevin, but everybody. I mean, I remember me and Ricky both were talking, and Ricky says, you know, I gotta say, I wasn't sure about him, but he's proved that he can really work. I said, yeah, no kidding.
Matty R, is it true Del Rey was the name used because Stan Lane used to say Del Rey Beach?
I think so. I do believe it was. It had something to do with, yeah, where Stan came from. And, yeah, and Jimmy and I were supposed to be cousins as well. Mm-hmm. How about that?
From Mega Mouth Spike, the Heavenly Bodies were the kind of tag team I love to hate. The arrogance of Dr. Tom and Jimmy Del Rey was second to none. Look at that. That's a good compliment there.
Well, sometimes you have to be arrogant. You know, it ain't bragging if you can back it up, right?
Yeah. But, I mean, I love it that you guys are, you know, still thought about it as a great tag team.
Well, now I don't know if he said great tag team there, by God. He said he loved to hate us, but yeah.
Hey, you got to have that emotion to be a great.
Well, that's good. No, but that's all. That's cool because it was just a certain region. It really was, man. If you think about it, Smoky Mountain was a certain place that not a whole lot of people knew about until we got some exposure, and it was Jim Cornette that was responsible for getting the exposure too. He opened a door for a few people in there, but what nobody realizes is Smoky Mountain was a one-man band, and he was a guy. It was a shoestring. So we knew we were having really good matches in Smoky Mountain Southern style because Survivor Series, when we worked with Rock and Roll Express in Boston, they were silent, and they let us know that wasn't the kind of wrestling they liked. They were, oh, you know, but hey, that's what we did. So, and I appreciate people remembering it. I don't care if it's 3 or 300, because it ain't going to be 3,000, but could be. Never know.
It is funny you guys could have the same same match in the same year in two different towns.
Yeah.
Brawl down south, got a huge ovation, one of the best matches of the night. Survivor Series later on, you know, not so much. But the crowd wasn't into it, yeah.
Yeah, but... But again, it's a different part of the country, different style, and I get it. So, didn't get it then, but I get it now.
Jesse James says hi from Oakland, California.
Hey, Jesse.
Oakland, where Sasha Banks just got robbed. Her car got robbed.
What happened to her car?
So, she said she parked for 5 minutes. She was on Instagram filming it. And some guy came, I guess, with a bat and broke her windshield and took all her bags out of her car.
You know, there is no civility left in the world. There is no civility left
in
the country.
Not in California.
Not in California. You're not kidding. I mean, is that just, why would you?
In broad daylight.
Yeah, in broad daylight. Nobody cares anymore. It's a horrible place.
Hey, Phil apologized for Survivor Series.
Yeah, I
still like that match. I don't care about the crowd.
Okay, great. Well, you don't have to apologize, Phil. I know you're not, you don't fully represent Boston, but I do appreciate it.
Brooke said, I love the Heavenly Bodies. They don't make teams like they used to.
No, they don't. They don't, but they don't make anything like they used to. Nothing's like it used to be. So it's all new and changing all the time.
Rorito says, WWF tag teams, what's the Mount Rushmore of tag teams? Besides the Heavenly Bodies, of course.
Well, yeah, right. Well,
2000.
Yeah, right. Good point. I think when you're talking about from the era, from the beginning era, you got to put the Bulldogs in there. You got to put Brett and
Anvil,
the Hart Foundation. Thank you, Anvil. And gosh, there were some good tag teams, but WWE's never been a tag team company or
Demolition
territory.
Held the titles for 400 plus days.
Demolition, yeah. Road Warriors, Legion of Doom. But there were a lot of really good tag teams. So I mean, and you got to go by eras too, because. People don't, maybe they do today, but they sure as hell didn't back then. You don't really know. Tag team wrestling is a whole different recipe when you're trying to do a match instead of a singles. And there's a lot more to it than just tag in, tag out. So, and that's why the guys who did work well together, who did, you know, kind of walk backstage together and stay as a team together all the time, travel together, like the Warriors, like the Rock and Roll, Arn and Tully, guys who work really well together. Dynamite and Davey, as chaotic and crazy as that was, they knew how to work together. They were the well-oiled machine. So it ain't easy, but you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Barbara wants to know, why aren't the Midnight Express in the Hall of Fame? Gotta explain this.
I can't. It baffles me too. It should be a crime against humanity. I agree. The Midnight should have been in, and from Bobby, Stan, Dennis, Jimmy, they all should be in there.
Did you know Smoky Mountain was doomed to go out of business?
Well, not in the beginning, obviously, but yeah, we had kind of a feeling because it was changing. Business was changing, and you could see it. If you weren't on TV, you weren't considered a star. You weren't considered anybody, and it was just local wrestling. Now, people were saving their money for when WWF at that time came to town. So, yeah, we didn't know it was going to go out of business like it did. Nobody did. But once we saw everything happening the way it was, it was inevitable. It was just inevitable. Jimmy was doing everything by himself, from writing the TVs, trying to promote, trying to keep a budget, trying to have people come in to help boost the houses. So when he made the deal originally with WCW, when Bill Watts was there, that was the idea. It was close by, the Carolinas and Knoxville, and we could do an exchange of talent, bring in some stars here, bring up some of our guys there, make them, and vice versa. And then Watts got fired, and then the other thing happened. So,
did you like better Smoky Mountain or Memphis?
Smoky Mountain. I like Memphis, and my last run I liked Memphis, but Smoky Mountain was, from start to finish, a lot more enjoyable.
Used to watch Tom in Portland. Loved him. Nice.
Wow.
From Whitney. Loved you all the way back in Portland. Nice.
Very nice. I just got an email from somebody from Portland a couple weeks ago who sent me some pictures that they took and sent it to the JPWA Gmail. So Portland was a lot of fun, man. Portland was a really good place where they would send young guys to learn and get seasoned and learn how to work on TV and learn how to tell a story and stuff like that. And that's a shame that doesn't exist anymore.
Your brother calls you and says your team, the Heavenly Bodies, is going to be in the Hall of Fame. Do you accept? If Cornette can't, who do you want to induct the team?
Well, Cornette has to be there. It's not, without him, there is no us. So, of course, we'd accept, you know that. Come on, Isman. Sure we would. Why wouldn't you? But there is no if Cornette won't do it. He would, if he didn't do it, then we couldn't.
I think he'd be inducted with you guys, so you'd need somebody
exactly.
Else.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It has no
I think Ricky and Robert would probably have to introduce you guys.
Well, let's hope so.
Whitney going back, talking about little Rip Oliver, the Assassin, Billy Jack.
Bret Sawyer. Ooh. Yeah, yeah. Mike Miller. Jerry Gray. Mondo Guerrero was there. Tom Jones, Mr. Ebony. It was a nice crew, nice place to live. Matt Bourne was there.
Nate coming in and out occasionally.
Buddy Rose, Stan Stasiak.
Look at that. Jason just said, did you work Playboy Buddy Rose?
I did. I sure did. But he was actually, and Buddy was great. Buddy could work.
Going back to a Jimmy Del Rey,
Yes.
It's funny like to look at. Like, so many of your matches were in Smoky Mountain Wrestling, the majority of them. You guys had hundreds. But obviously WWF, that played a big role in you guys' career too, had some great matches. USWA. And then the last matches that you guys had, shockingly, were part of ECW in December of 95. Did you know that was the end of the team? Like,
right. Wait, who's that for?
You and Jimmy Del Rey. Like the last time you guys.
Yeah, ECW. What was the company? ECW. Okay, yeah. Hold on.
Yes. Believe it or not.
Well, I do believe it, but there was an occasion. Yeah, it was before, though. It was before because we had to fly back to Knoxville. Jimmy got us booked in Tampa for a promotion. Al Perez and what was his brother's name? Al Perez and his brother.
Okay.
I don't remember his name. But anyway, we had a match in Tampa. And we had a night off. And we flew to Tampa. Had the match. Had the booking, and then overslept the next day and missed our plane, and we had to work that night. We got there in time, but but I just remember Cornette saying, "All right, no more." So, but ECW sounds about right. I mean,
that was going to be the end of the team. Like you're in ECW?
No, I had no idea. You know what? We had no idea about a lot of stuff that was happening back then. So.
Lou Perez.
Thank you. It was all right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Bob Rivers. Lou Perez. Alan Lou Perez. So.
Yep.
Okay, so that's what we did, and then we overslept and got yelled at.
What's one story you can share about Jimmy that had you laughing so hard, and you still laugh about it to this day?
Well, I don't know that there are any that I can tell. Jimmy, if you dare Jimmy to do something, it was on. So there were a lot of things. Jimmy, well, the Steiners brought their dog with them. They came and worked a week in Smoky Mountain. And Jimmy was afraid of dogs, and Scott would have the dog chased Jimmy in the locker room, and Jimmy went in the, yeah, and Jimmy would go in the stall and get on the toilet, and the dog would go underneath, and he'd be trying to jump and moving his feet, stuff like that. So everybody thought that was funny, but then Scott would say, "No, the dog knows how to work." So what? And so yeah, Jimmy was terrified of dogs, and Scott would always try to get him just close enough in the ring to play with him, but.
Man, those Steiner brothers.
Well, yeah, and the other two, yeah, they like to play around. So,
what was like the reasoning behind? Okay, you're in ECW, obviously, you guys take that booking, but was he just done with the Heavenly Bodies, Jimmy? Like, he just went back to Tampa and he was just done with the team. It's like, all right, see ya.
Well, I don't. Again, we weren't being booked by WWF, and we were waiting to see what was going to happen. I think our contract was up. It was we were on the we weren't being used, and I think he just figured he could get booked around Tampa and do his thing. He had recently got married too, so I think he was more happy doing that.
Carl wants to know, ahoy, Doctor. Any wild memories of Survivor Series '93 that gumbled your gullywoods to this day?
Just the crowd. My gullywit was pretty gumbled then. It was we weren't what weird anybody. Yeah, it was weird. Yeah, well, it was weird for us, but at the same time, it made perfect sense. It just translation wise, I guess. They hadn't seen the Heavenly Bodies from Smoky Mountain Wrestling. They hadn't, you know. They hadn't been introduced to it.
Don't know why, but Heavenly Bodies was one of the best tag teams of all time in my book. I know why, but they were great.
Yeah.
Tag team specialists.
Sure we were. Damn right, Brooks, thanks.
Now, obviously, a lot of the arsenal is original, but you guys did take some stuff. You might have lifted some stuff to Midnight Express.
We lifted a lot of stuff from Midnight Express. We were working with rock and roll, so they knew and made perfect sense because the Midnight Express and Rock and Roll Express were one of the great rivalries in the business, not just in Crockett territory, but in the business, something to study because they came in from Memphis, smaller guys into a big man's territory. And they drew. They were different. And they were special, and they had a talk about chemistry. All five of those guys had chemistry. So originally it was going to be the Midnight Express and Rock and Roll in Smoky Mountain, but Bobby Hick couldn't get out of the contract. So that's how I was offered the gig to come in and try something different. So,
man, imagine what would have happened. What would have changed?
Well, one thing I've learned is if is a middle word in life. So I was at one time when Bobby was without a partner for a couple of days, but Stan, they had just bought the Tampa office, and Stan was working there kind of doing nothing too. And I don't think I was right for that moment, but once again, if, what if? Well, L-I-F-E, that's the way it works.
Love me some Jimmy Del Rey, Jimmy Backlund, Jimmy Graffiti. Great tag team with the Heavenly Bodies and yourself. Loved it. Ibsen wants to know, do you remember you had a dark match at WrestleMania 10 with the Bushwhackers?
Yeah, I sure do.
Talked about that before.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that match. And
I have a great picture of it because I was there live. I still have a great picture of you guys.
Right. Well, getting bit. I think they're biting our ass.
Well, I guess my dad took the picture when you guys, because you keep saying you lost, but you did win. You guys did win that match. I have the picture of when you guys won.
Maybe we won, but maybe they were biting our ass, too.
Oh, yeah, they definitely did. Yeah,
yeah, so, yeah, I'll believe you on that one. But, yeah, I do remember that. I remember that, and that was our first WrestleMania showing up in the Garden, and it's like, all right, very nice.
Were you disappointed you were left off the card?
Of course we were. Yeah. You know, we thought we'd be on there, and but once again, certainly disappointing.
Memories of the feud with the Thrill Seekers.
Yes. If you've seen the match, where Jericho bleeds buckets, he broke his arm earlier that afternoon and came back from the hospital. They wanted to set it and didn't want him to obviously do wrestling that night, but he came back. I got to give him all the props in the world because he worked with one arm, and we did our best to protect him. And he still, the story was the blood. The story was how relentless we were going to be on these guys, and it wound up being even more than that, thanks to the broken arm. So, I thought we had good matches with those guys. Both Lance and Chris had that fire and those young guys, and that was always fun to work with.
I think Dr. Tom and Bobby Eaton would have made an awesome tag team for Brooks. I totally agree.
Yeah. Yeah, and I teamed with Bobby a couple times before that. So, yeah.
We'll just do one final Jimmy Del Rey question before we get into some other good stuff here. Did Jimmy mess with Cornette's rackets or sport coats at all? Did he
really? No. He knew better. That wouldn't have been a smart move, and Jimmy knew that. Don't play with Jimmy's stuff.
I know you were telling me he likes to rip guys.
Well, Jim's the boss, and Jim was the guy giving him a break. So, and Jim was already having enough issues as far as being stressed out and being the guy responsible for everything. So you don't want to add to the problem.
All right, here's the great question from before from Andrew that I wanted to ask you. I don't know if you're joking or what, but it's funny. Who's taller, you or your brother?
My brother, thank you.
By how next. Much? By how much?
He's at least 5 feet taller than me. I really don't know. I don't know how much taller he is. We really haven't stood next side by side in a long time. I take every picture on my toes, so you can't tell.
Please ask Dr. Tom if ego can affect where a wrestler's place is on the card.
Most certainly. It can affect it. You have to have an ego. You have to believe in yourself. You've got to have a performer's ego to believe you're the best. And I think everybody or anybody who's really been in a position of power understands you are the guy who has to believe first. Before anybody else can believe in you, you got to believe in yourself. So yeah, sure can.
Any memories you can share with working with a young Rob Van Dam?
He was in Memphis when I first met him, but I don't think I've ever worked with Rob.
Oh, really? Interesting. Mm-hmm. I don't know either. I'm not sure.
I don't think I have. It would have been in Memphis. Yeah.
What did you most enjoy about working for Vince McMahon?
I think everything was surrounding wrestling. It was surrounding the company. At that point in my life, I was glad to be immersed in something substantial and solid. Because I had a contract and I was starting to train guys. And then I started... I had an office, had to go to Titan Towers and go to the studio, and I was there in the mix of being able to do bite this and do a lot of things that pertain to the other side of wrestling, the other side of the business, where I just showed up at a meeting one day, and it was a creative meeting, and I just kept showing up. So then going to the production meetings at those times, see, those are invaluable learning tools in themselves, and then just having the opportunities to go to the studio, see how it does work, and see and realize how massive this whole thing is. And I enjoyed that a lot. Titan Towers is a really cool place. It really is. I'm not a good office guy, not at all, but it's a really cool office. It looks kind of like this black building on, what is it, 95, with a pirate's flag. And so it looks like a pirate ship, and it's a nice building inside. So I enjoyed the environment. I enjoyed the vibe. I was immersed in it.
Great question here from Bo. Why is the line you're in the slowest to move?
Why is the line I'm in the slowest to move?
It's true. Even in traffic, I noticed if I pick the lane and it's slow and I move to the next lane, that's the slow one. It always happens.
That's a life question I think everyone should either attempt to answer or just flat out know. I think it's because that's the way it was meant to be.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, we can't change it. If it's meant to be, it's meant to be.
That's right up there with, like, why are we here? You know, why are we?
Well, it's better to be in there. We don't know that for a fact. So, yeah. Hey, thank you for that question, Bo Roberts. Yeah.
From Bob, how is Dr. Tom doing health-wise? Does he need any joint replacements? I need a new right hip myself.
Well, last July, I tore both my meniscus in my left knee. And, or was it my right knee? Whichever one. I think it was my right knee, come to think of it. Anyway, and then after I got it fixed in December, I did it in July, I waited until December to get it done. After I got it fixed, then my hips started feeling bad, but I think it was all in my head, psychokinesis or whatever you call it. I'm doing good, thank you very much. No, I'm not. I don't have any replacements coming up, but I did get my knee shaved. You know, once you after 26 years old, they said there's nothing we can do except shave the bone down for a meniscus. Have you ever had your meniscus? You ever torn any of that?
No.
Okay. Nope. First time for me too. And I said I couldn't have torn anything. It hurts like hell, but there's just no way it could have happened like that. And it happened like that. So.
Mega Mouse said, did the Heavenly Bodies ever have matches with Techno Team 2000? Yes, actually.
Yes, yes,
your
we did.
Your last series of matches with WWF was against Techno Team, and you lost pretty much all of them.
Oh, well, thanks. Why don't you rub it in, John?
Yep.
Yeah, somebody asked us if that was Techno Team's last match, and we said, sure, we hope so.
Barbara wants to know, how many Old Country Buffets did Bruce single-handedly put out of business? Oh, ouch. Not a Bruce fan here. Oh, man.
Ouch. Uh-huh.
Steven wants to know, do you hate when they mess up your drive-thru at Wendy's? Your order through the Wendy's drive-thru.
Well, Steve, I did, but I'm no longer attending the Wendy's window. So it's on that. That's partially the reason right there, because I was getting tired of people inadequately fulfilling their duties. So,
oh man, I feel like they stepped up around where I am. I feel like they stepped up. Like the fries are a lot better. They've been
look. I was running errands today, and I had to stop into a certain chicken franchise, and there was a fellow in front of me, and I guess he'd been there for a while. And they said something about the people in the drive-in. There was nobody at the front counter to take my order at all. And then they said something derogatory. I don't remember what it was, but didn't really hear it. The guy says, well, it really makes you feel like a valued customer here, huh? And he was trying to get some ketchup or something for a deal. I said, yep, you lost me. And I had to walk to another place. My car was getting serviced. So I value good customer service, John, whether it's a drive-thru or Firestone Tires. So, so Wendy's is off my list right now, Steve. Thanks for asking.
Yes. Barbara said, did you train Kurt Angle? Yes. In fact, yes. You did, of course.
I did.
Richie Ray, Cornette puts Dr. Tom over as the best trainer in the business today. Thank you, Cornette. That's great.
Yeah. Thank you, Jim. That is great. I appreciate that.
Jeremy says, Dr. Tom, appreciate you and other wrestlers during your era. Cut my teeth watching wrestlers and territory wrestling like you.
Awesome. Because if you've never watched it or never had a chance to go to a match during the territory days, like a 70s or an 80s, you know, the early part of the 80s, it's kind of like if you ask me what it's like to dive in water. You can't describe it. You just have to do it. You don't know how to describe wet. Yeah, okay, so you don't know how to describe the feeling when you go to a Coliseum. Like the Sam Houston Coliseum was a really a pretty good sized building every Friday night, and you could smoke back then, and they would turn the house lights off, and by the end of the night, hell, by the middle of the card, the smoke would be rising into the ring lights, and it just had a great ambiance and atmosphere, and ringside and sometimes even the cheap seats, you could see the sweat fly, you could see the blood fly, you could see all this. It was a lot more barbaric, but that was wrestling. That was professional wrestling, kind of like MMA is today, I guess.
Carl wants to know, any advice on networking and politicking your way into better positions in a company? I feel this is a necessary skill, but often overlooked because of its taboo stigma.
Learn how to work. Think, shoot, but work. Understand what you're going into. Understand what you have to do. How many times have you seen people not qualified get raises and promotions because they're easy to get along with or they're likable? I think that's human nature. I don't know about politics. You have to know your job, or do you? I don't know. My suggestion would be come in with a great attitude every day, do your job well, and understand if you have to have if your boss is over here, and everybody wants to be I think everybody wants to be accepted and liked, even the bosses. So and the bosses have enough on their plate too, I guess they'll say. So you want to make it, don't want to be a pain in the ass. You want to make it where it benefits you and everybody else. But it's a work. Learn to work.
From Barbara here, Please tell us how to get Dr. Tom's book, a must for any would-be main event wrestler. Of course, a pro wrestling curriculum, advice, suggestions, and stories to help the aspiring pro get to the next level. Dr. Tom, where can they get the book?
You can get the book at jpwrestlingacademy.com. Click on the training page. It comes right up on that front page. And check out the book. Check out our next sessions. We're in week number 7 tonight. Again, we did great promos and had a fun time. And, you know, it's usually about this time, about middle training, when everybody's kind of feeling where they're at and getting a little more comfortable and still nervous, but at the same time realizing, oh, this is what we're doing now, and this is why we're doing it. And even if they don't know why, it's just they understand this is what's going to lead to something else at the end of the day. And it's a journey. So every day is a different journey. And, we have a 10-week session coming up in the fall. Check it out if you want to join us. It's jpwrestlingacademy.com.
Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Two Man Power Trip. Check out the website, tmptempire.com. And, of course, follow Dr. Tom on Twitter at Dr. Tom Pritchard. You go to Pro Wrestling Tees, prowrestlingtees.com. Visit the JPWA store or the Dr. Tom store. Dr. Tom, what else you got going on? Anything otherwise or otherwise?
Well, next week, heading to NWA 74 in St. Louis. Looking forward to that. Yeah, and then going to do 3 days in Nashville for the TV tapings. And looking forward to see how that goes.
Nice. Okay, great stuff. Thank you, everybody, for the great questions and responses. And thank you, everybody, out there for listening. See you right back here next week for a little Take You to School with Dr. Tom Pritchard. We'll see you next week, folks. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You can check us out on Facebook. You can subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPT Empire to become a patron. And also check out the website, TMPTEmpire.com. And buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies. Brother.